The Gospel is according to Mark. We are in the sixth chapter. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. Jesus said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So the disciples went out and proclaimed all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. It is utterly simple, actually. If you want to proclaim God's grace, if you want to tell people about forgiveness, if you want to reveal the power of God flowing across this world, be a global missionary. Get on a plane and head out. Go to Tanzania, go to Ethiopia, go to South Africa, go to Sudan, go to Romania, go to Pakistan. At least that seems a little bit of what Jesus is telling us this morning. Now, I know, for many of us, when we think about being a global missionary, that seems terrifying. To leave everything that we know behind, to get on a plane, and to head out somewhere to another country, maybe across the planet. Certainly, when I have met global missionaries, I marvel at their courage. Just the fear of the fact that they waited for their passport, which takes an incredible amount of time, and then they got all those shots, and then they went to cultural education training so they could learn about where they were going. I mean, it starts piling up, and when I start thinking about that, even for myself, I get a little bit of anxiety. Who would do this? Who would leave everything behind and head out to another part of the world just to speak God's grace? And with all that being said, shipping ourselves off to another country might still be easier than heading out through those doors and telling our neighbors about Jesus. Or at least that's what seems to happen in our gospel for today. In the Gospel of Mark, across the entire Gospel of Mark, all 16 verse chapters, Mark describes Jesus like a superhero. That's the language I'm going to use with our confirmands when we talk about the Bible this year. We have four gospels, so four gospel writers, so four perspectives on who Jesus is. And these aren't Mark's words, obviously, but they're my words. Mark describes Jesus as a superhero. One of Mark's favorite words is immediately. Immediately, he can cure the sick. Immediately, he can cast out demons. Immediately, he goes from house to house and from one side of the sea to the other. And then immediately, he comes back. And immediately, he can travel from one end of the nation to the other. He's like a superhero. He can move breathlessly. And he has incredible power. And he is the Son of God. Mark tells us that in the very first verse of the gospel. Everybody knows it, except the people in his hometown. They don't believe him, and he cannot prove to them that he is the Son of God. Now, if you had your Bibles in your laps, I would invite you to use a bookmark or your finger or maybe one of those cool ribbons like we got in some of our books, and Mark chapter 6, and I would send you back to chapter 3. We'd go back to chapter 3, and at verse 19, Mark writes this very simple line. Jesus went home. In chapter 3, Jesus heals a man in a worship space. He runs along the seaside and has crowds who follow him along. He identifies his starting lineup, the first 12 disciples. And then after all of that, this is just chapter 3. After all of that, he goes home. For any one of us, we go home after we have a hard day of labor. We want our rest. We go home. So he goes home. Verse 19. Verse 20, Mark tells us his family is trying to track him down. Verse 21, this takes two verses. We find out from Mark. The people are saying that he has gone out of his mind. So his family is looking for him in his hometown because they want to grab him up. They want to take him home. They want to plop him on the couch. They want to have an intervention because they want to tell Jesus, knock it off. The people are talking. They think you're a little weird doing all this healing stuff and talking about God and power. And I mean, stop it, Jesus. The neighbors are starting a whisper campaign. They're accusing him of being possessed by a demon. Now, to you and to me, this sounds absurd, right? This is ridiculous. I mean, this is Jesus we're talking about. Jesus, the Son of God. This is Jesus who has the power of God. He can heal the sick. He can cast out demons. Mark tells us he can travel by sea, and he can even walk across it. He doesn't even need a boat. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. The only thing he can't do is convince his own people that he's the Son of God. It seems obvious to us. But then again, we didn't grow up in his zip code. We didn't know him when he was 4 or 5 years old and he was toddling around on his bike and getting into trouble. We didn't know about that lock-in, you know, that incident that nobody wants to talk about. We don't know about when he was 16 and he got the keys for the very first time and drove his mom's car right into the ditch. We don't know those stories. We know Christmas. We know Easter. We know the stories of healing. We know how he can cast out demons. We know he can walk on water. We know those stories, but we don't know Jesus the way his neighbors know Jesus. So now we flip back to chapter 6, and now it's starting to make sense. Jesus goes home again. This is the second time he goes home, by the way. This will be the last time he goes home. He comes back to his home church. He's the son of the church, the congregation. They welcome him in. Maybe they have a little potluck. They invite him up into the pulpit, and as soon as he starts preaching, they boo him back out of the pulpit. This is one of the few times in the Gospel of Mark where we are reminded again that Jesus was fully human. Because Mark tells us in verse 5 of our reading for today, he could do no deeds of power there. His own congregation, his own people render him powerless, and he is the Son of God. Yeah, he heals a few people, maybe bops a couple people on the head, secretly passes out a blessing here or there, but they couldn't recognize him as the Son of God. As a faith leader, as a church leader, as an evangelical leader in the evangelical Lutheran Church in America, I am called to send us out on Christ's behalf to proclaim the good news. We are called together to name and to call out all the demons that destroy life, all the demons that destroy human bonds, all the demons that destroy hope, and we know those demons. We are called by our Lord, the Son of God, to bring healing to the suffering ones, to the sick ones, to the sick and tired ones. We are called in God's name, and we have Christ's blessing to speak holy words that are going to reflect the holy word of God that we know can break and shape and reform life. And yet, where are any of you going to go after worship this morning? Probably going home. I mean, maybe one or two of you is about to get on a plane and go to Tanzania and be a global missionary. If you do, please send a postcard. It would be awesome. But for the rest of us, we're going home. And I don't even mean that in a cynical sort of sense. That's what I do. When I leave worship and we have lunch, we go home because that's where God calls us to be. We are called to be home. We are needed by Christ and we are needed by our brothers and sisters. And I know in the church often we talk about brothers and sisters are our neighbors, and it's that broad communal sense. But in this reflection that we have from Mark 6, when we talk about brothers and sisters, we mean literally our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our kids, our grandkids, our aunts, our uncles, our cousins, our people. They are longing to hear the gospel. They need to know that grace is for them. Our classmates, our colleagues, our bandmates, our teammates, the people who we're going to gather with this week at the coffee shop, our doctors, our nurses, our caregivers, the person who's going to pick us up and give us a ride, our neighbors who we will see across the fence. They need to hear again that the demons and the powers of this world cannot, will not, will never cut them off and isolate them from God's love. We know this. We carry these words in our hearts all the time. It's so easy. And it is utterly terrifying to speak God's name, especially to people we know, to speak our faith publicly with the people who we play with, the people who we work with, the people who we hang with, the people who we will get into strong arguments about politics with, but we struggle to speak God's name. We struggle in our faith, and we struggle in how we share our faith, in part because, and I will say it as myself, as much as any of us, we don't want to offend. We use that language too. We don't want to upset the patterns and the privileges that shape our life. We don't want to mess with the rhythms of our life. We fear the isolation that could happen. We worry about these strange words that might come out of our mouth, even though they're the same words that we carry in our hearts. Quite frankly, we don't want Thanksgiving to get weird. We're comfortable, as we are. And then Jesus drags us back into this tent on a Sunday morning, and maybe we're not quite sure why we're here, but the Holy Spirit got us here. And what happens in worship? We gather, and the chime choir warms us up and starts getting our hearts and our thoughts turned towards God with the prelude. And then Jesus jumps right in. We're barely in our pews. We're barely seated. And Jesus has us stand up and make our confession to God. Confess that we like our comfort. Confess that we don't want to follow Jesus too far. Confess that we don't want to say these words. And thanks be to God that Jesus is not doing this out of guilt. Jesus is not doing this to create shame. Jesus is doing this to break us and set us free so we can hear again that we are forgiven. And Jesus does it immediately. Jesus is calling us out of our homes, out of our couches, out of our daily lives, out of our comfort, out of our expectations, out of our resistance, out of our hesitation, out of all those expectations that our neighbors have put on us already. He's cutting us loose from all of that, and he's setting us free. He's casting out all of our demons. He's giving name to our brokenness, and he's shining light upon us. He affirms us. He transforms us, and we need to hear this as often as possible. He forgives us and loves us. And then, through this water and through this meal, he gives us his power. We're sent out from this tent with nothing, and we've got everything we need because we can call out demons. We can pour out the Holy Spirit, and it comes through our words, through our hands. We can heal. And yes, we talk about the healing that comes from doctors and nurses and the remarkable adventation of new science that comes out every single day. The healing that Jesus is talking about is the healing of community. The healing that Jesus is talking about is the one that overcomes isolation. The healing that Jesus is bringing to his people, that we are called to bring to our people, is the proclamation that we are not alone. We are being sent home. Because we have been refreshed in these waters. We're renewed by this meal. We are recreated out of sin into life. And this is good news. And we are being sent to what we know best. Because we already know the language. We know the lingo. We know all the inside jokes. We know all the characters, all the players. We know all of it. We know the needs that are plaguing our people. We know the pain. We know the disappointment. And we know the unrelenting hope. And we know that God is there. We know all the demons. We know them by name. We even know how to find every single demon. And we, by faith, we know that wherever we go, we are not alone because Christ goes with us. And we have this community that walks with us. Jesus goes ahead of us. We know that Christ is already in the home. Our neighbors, our friends, our family, our classmates, our colleagues, all those people who we know. This might be a bit of a spoiler alert, but they probably know where you are right now. They already know that you come and hang out in this place. They already know that you are loved by God and that you love God. They know our habits, our patterns, as much as we know theirs. They know our faith in Christ is central to our very existence. So Jesus is calling us to go out. He's sending us out so that we can speak our faith, tell our story. Tell the story of Trinity Lutheran Church. Tell the story of how God has forgiven you. Tell the story of how you will know tomorrow that God is with you as much as God is with you today. Make what is already known, known. And it's scary. It is terrifying. Let's be honest. And when we read Mark chapter 6, it didn't go well for Jesus. But because it didn't go well for Jesus, he clears all the obstacles. With his cross and the resurrection, he has cast out all the demons. He's eliminated all the fear of death. he's pushed aside all that dread of what might happen so that we know what will happen. God's glory will be revealed. And you and me, we have that power. It's true. When we speak God's name, it's happened before, it'll happen again. Some people will refuse to hear it. Some people will doubt that God can actually do what we know God can do. So what do? Jesus tells us, shake off the dust and keep going. Because our neighbors, our co-workers, there is someone who we know who is waiting to hear that God's grace is for them, that God's love is for them, that the forgiveness that we hold dear and that shapes us and moves us every day is for all of creation. Jesus is calling on us, and he is sending us out to speak these words again, speak them boldly, publicly, or maybe over a cup of coffee, so our neighbors can know that God's grace, that God's kingdom is breaking into this world for them. Amen.